Well, today is about mission, and we want to talk about that in our preaching time today. And I'm going to ask you to please stand with me as we recite together our creed of what we believe, and what we believe is what we go and tell. So you follow the pastor as we make our affirmation today. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the church of the living God, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we share, we believe, is Trinitarian in this creed. I believe in God the Father. That's the first part, the Father. Then I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, and all of those things concerning Christ. Next Sunday, we'll launch into preaching in that third part of the Trinitarian. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Anytime I read that creed, I'm always reminded of the Sunday that in an evangelical church, they were reciting the creed, and they had boys standing up all along the way. And every time they would come to one line, a little boy or a girl would step up with a card and Holy Spirit, Jesus, and all that they believed. And they got to the line that says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Nobody stepped forward, and the pastor turned and looked and said, what's going on? And one kid hollered out, the little boy that believes in the Holy Ghost ain't here today. Well, I'm fearful sometimes we omit the Holy Ghost in that, but we'll talk about that next week. But we've been preaching about what we believe, and we take that message to the world. And today, right in the middle of this series on our creed and our confession, I want us to think about more than believing it, but believing it enough to tell it, to share it, to send it. I'm going to share out of Isaiah 6 today, and when we look at this verse, and then I'm going to share for a few moments this message, and then we'll give an invitation. Now, the invitation is twofold today. When I finish preaching, I'm going to ask some of you to get out of your seat and walk here to the front, to myself, to Robert, to John, and some encouragers that will remain at the front. And you will come today to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You will come to say, Pastor, I want to trust Christ today. Some will say, I want to be baptized. I'm ready to do that. Others will say, I'm ready to put my membership in Olive Baptist Church, and I'm coming to make my confession. Someone in this room today will say, God has touched my heart and called me to a vocational service as a preacher, as a singer, as a missionary, as a youth person. You'll come forward and greet us here. For those of you that are not coming this way, the invitation goes that way. Now, I don't want you going out these doors to the back parking lot today before you make your way through the front foyer. We have tables, booths set up all about mission. And I want you to go. If you have children, let them go by the children's table and get a passport. And they can then get a sticker from every one of those countries as they go around. I want you to walk around, talk to some people before you leave today. We're going to finish this service a little earlier than normal, so you'll have time to go out there and just walk through and look. You'll see videos. You'll see pictures. There'll be things you can handle. There'll be a place there for you to sign up and say, you know, I believe that place, Nicaragua, Romania, Mexico, New York City, maybe that's my place. I'll pray about being a part. I want you to go and feel and touch and just walk through and mingle in that missions area out there this morning. You'll see a lot of things. So when I give the invitation, it'll not be a song to come forward. We'll just turn you loose when the piano begins to play. And you'll go there to encounter mission. If you're here and need Christ, you'll come here to the front. And you say, Pastor, I'm ready today. I'm ready to receive Christ. I'm ready to join the church. I'm ready to surrender to that that God has called me to do. We have a story to tell to the nations. While you're seated, turn to Isaiah chapter 6. verse number 8, in that wonderful old passage where Isaiah has seen the vision of the Lord high and lifted up. The king of the country has died. The God of the nation speaks to Isaiah. And in Isaiah 6, in verse number 8, after he's touched him and after he's called him, then God speaks and Isaiah responds in Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am. Send me." Isaiah heard it. It's a pointed question. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Who of you can God send? Who will go with the gospel? Who will stand and say with Isaiah, "Here I am, Lord. Send me across the street, across the nation, across the globe. Here I am, Lord. Send me." It is Missions Day emphasis at this place we call Olive. I want you to think with me about mission for a few moments this morning. Look first of all at what I simply call the message that we have. The church has a message for missions. It is called the gospel. The gospel. It is good news. My phone rang this morning early. Bad news. One of our members dying in hospice care. I was there early with them and praying for coming over to church just across the way. It was tears. There were questions. I said, "But don't forget now, this gentleman and I have talked. He's told me that he's trusted Christ. So in the midst of this bad news, I've got some good news. That Christ died for him and he has said yes to Christ, so that when he breathes his last today, he's stepping from this world to another world that is God's world." Travis Bedsole sits right here. I talked to Travis this morning. Sister died and they buried her just a few days ago. I've been praying for Trav, and I said to him this morning, I said, "Travis, I've been praying for you. I'm sorry to hear of your sister." And he said, "Well, Pastor, all is well." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "Because I led her to faith in Christ myself 3 years ago." That's good news. And if you have good news, you don't keep it to yourself. You tell it. The church has a message. And it is the message of our mission. It is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're in this room today, that message is for you. Jesus loved you. If you will believe, Jesus will save you. God gave his Son for you. He was the 34th president of the United States, serving from 1954 to 1961. President Dwight David Eisenhower, we just knew him as Ike. Everyone called him Ike. When I was born in 1953, just shortly after that, President Eisenhower would be the president. That would be the name that we would hear in those first 9 years of my life. Those 8 years, he was the president. I don't remember much, but I remember hearing that name. And I remember those buttons about Ike. And he was running, and there he was elected. President Eisenhower died in 1969, 8 years after retiring from the presidency and having been a great general leading our troops in World War II. When he was on his deathbed, President Eisenhower asked Billy Graham to come by and see him. He said, "Preacher, I'd just like to know about heaven." Billy Graham records that he spent, because they told him he could have 30 minutes and no more, He said, for 30 minutes, I read from the scriptures of how God loves a president, how if a president will repent, he can be saved, how if a president, like any other man, would call on the name of Christ, that God died for a president too. When his 30 minutes were up, they asked Mr. Graham to leave, but President Eisenhower said, no, I need a little more time. Billy Graham lingered, and he said, now tell me one more time, and he shared. And when he went through the gospel, President Eisenhower responded to Billy Graham with five words. Thank you. I am ready. I want to ask you a question today. Are you ready? Are you ready? The gentleman at West Florida said, I'm ready. Travis's sister said, I'm ready. The President of the United States said, I'm ready. Can you say, I'm ready? Let me tell you, we have a gospel. That is the heart of our mission, that we're to go and tell so that when people die, they can say, I am ready. Friend, you're not just ready to die, you're also ready to live. Amen. That is the mission of the church. Has a message for missions. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spurgeon came to his deathbed. The greatest preacher the world has probably ever seen since Jesus and the Apostle Paul. And Spurgeon said, when I died, all of the preaching I had done melted away, and only four words really mattered. Jesus died for me. Friend, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for the sin of the world. It's the message. Are you telling it? Have you received it? The church has a message for missions. Who will go for us? And who can I send? Here I am, Lord. I'll go. But not only does the church have a message for missions, the church has a mandate for missions. We find it in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Verses 18, 19, and 20. Look at this, where the Bible says that Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You know, Jesus is not just an authority in heaven. He's an authority on earth. He says, because I have all authority up there and all authority down here, go. You go to his disciples. He said, go therefore and make disciples. And say that next phrase with me, of all the nations. Would you say that? Of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We are to take the message to all nations. All nations. The question asked, how many nations are there? Well, you see these flags down the walls and up here. And there are some out in the foyer as you come in. You know, there may be a new nation while I'm preaching this morning. It's hard to nail down how many nations. By most accounts, yesterday, according to Google, yesterday there were 196 nations in the world. 196 nations. And we are to take the gospel. That is our mandate, to take the gospel to all the nations. How many people live in those nations? The population clock has just turned over 7 billion people in the world. 7 billion people in these 196 nations. One of those nations is our nation. And we now stand at just over 315 million people in America. Our mandate as the people of God is to take the gospel to the nations. 196, 7 billion people, 315 million people across America. 20 million of them plus in Florida. A bunch of them living in the panhandle. Now I want to introduce a word to you that you hear from time to time. That we go not just to the nations, but in those nations. There are what missionary strategists call people groups. People groups. Now, I've written down, this is what the Joshua Project says about people groups. A people group is a group where the gospel can spread in a church planting movement without barriers of understanding and acceptance. Now, hear me on this. Let's take the nation India. Should we just go to India? Do we just go one way? No. You see, there'd be well over 50 people groups in India alone. The caste systems. They speak over 50 different dialects and languages in India. So you see, the language is a barrier for understanding. It's a people group. This group speaks this and this group speaks that. But it's not just language. Do you know there are some groups that don't get along with each other? It's amazing. It's like Yankees and Confederates. It's like West Coast people think different than Panhandle people. Wow. It's different. It's not always a language, but there are other barriers that come that make people group. Do you know there are some people who live in the panhandle of Florida that wouldn't set foot in this church if you paid them $1,000? They're not coming. They don't like you. They're not like you. Now, are they welcome here? Certainly. There was a young lady here last Sunday from China, doesn't speak one word of English, sat through the whole service. She's moved here. She's here, and she'll learn some English. There's a barrier there. Thank God she's here. But that's a different people group. Can you imagine an 18-year-old girl coming from China to Pensacola and learning English from us? May God help her. Amen. She's going to have to take a test and pass it. She's going to say, well, that's the way the pastor says it. You see, there are these people groups all over the world. And our job is to infiltrate and break through in those people groups with a church planting movement where there's acceptance and understanding. And so there is not a misunderstanding and no acceptance where people would not accept the gospel. We must go. We have a mandate. I want to challenge you. Has God been speaking to your heart? Has God been speaking to your heart? Number one, to go on a short-term missions venture. No Christian that's a member of Olive Baptist Church should live and die here without at least going on one short-term mission trip. I said, nobody should be a member of this church and live and die and not go on at least one mission trip. Amen. Mexico is short. It's close. I didn't say it was easy, but you can do that. Some to New York. I called all three of my church planting friends in New York yesterday. Syracuse, where I'll be next month preaching. Thank the Lord they didn't plan for me to come this weekend. Bruce Albrey at the Great Northside Baptist Church in Syracuse, they run over 1,000 in Sunday school this morning. To our own church plant at Christ Crucified Fellowship with Rich Perez and Anna, they're having church in New York. And then my buddy Sean Pillay in Deschene. They moved to Connecticut. You heard him preach right here from South Africa. He's never seen it this cold in his life. And snow everywhere. And this morning, Sean said, we cannot have church at our church today because of the snow. So we're doing missions in Connecticut today. And here's the mission. They fill their pockets full of tracts. And everybody got a snow shovel. And they're going door to door to dig out people and share the gospel as they dig them out. Amen. That's what they do. And when you give here, you support him there. And he's doing a work. I mean, I got up this morning. The birds are tweeting and the azaleas are blooming. And it's going to be 70 degrees and come a little rain. And some people say, oh, I can't get out and go to church in the rain. It's the snow's this deep in Connecticut. And they're out in it. And they're doing mission. It's what we ought to be about. We help them, but we also go. We have a mandate to be about that. But not only do we have a message, not only a mandate, but the church has a methodology for missions. A methodology. What's the method? Each one tells one. That's how it works. You can plant churches, but I'm telling you, friends, when it all boils down to it, it's one somebody telling another somebody about Jesus Christ. That's the method. After the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. I've outlined it from a friend in Romania. I stole this from a friend in Romania, and I teach it to all of our new members' classes, and I remind us of it from time to time. What is that methodology? It's three-pronged. Number one, every member a missionary. Every member a missionary. That's every one of you. If you're a member of Olive Baptist Church, raise your left hand and say amen. Amen. If you raised your hand and said amen, you're a member of this church, then you are supposed to be on mission. You're supposed to be a missionary. That may be just right across the street. I was walking yesterday. I walked late yesterday, and I'm walking around the big circle down by our house, and I'm just walking by minding my own business, and as I walk by, I hear coming from way up the driveway, "Preacher!" So I turn, and my neighbor walked out. I used her in a sermon illustration 2 weeks ago about the fishing and the little creek it runs by, no fishing here. And she came walking out, and she said, "I see I made the sermon." And immediately I got fearful. I thought, what did I say? Because that was serendipitous. I just used that. I didn't have it in an outline or note or something. I said, oh, yeah, yeah, about the fishing. No fishing. Let me tell you, friend, if you think they're not watching, where'd she hear that? She watched on television. She heard that the week later on Saturday broadcast. And so this week we'll cut this part out for the broadcast. Editing floor here. Amen. I'm telling you, they're watching. They're everywhere. Caitlin sang this morning, I think, with Ryan down at the country club downtown. They're everywhere. Amen. They come in and out of his place. They're everywhere where you are, wherever you were. You walk in their office, they walk in here. I'm just telling you, they're and they know who you are. You name the name of Christ, you should be ready and willing. 2 Peter says, always be ready to give a defense for the hope that resides within you. So here we are. We're 6 weeks, 6 weeks into 2013. So let me just ask you a question. Olive people all raised your left hand and said amen a while ago. You've been living and breathing and giving your tithe and coming for 6 weeks. Have you told anybody about Jesus in the first 6 weeks of 2013? The methodology is one telling another one. It's not your choice. It's the commandment. It's the great commission that we've been commissioned to do. Every member a missionary. R.G. Letourneau, there's a college name for Mr. Letourneau. R.G. Letourneau was a phenomenal, powerful businessman in America years ago. When asked about his life, R.G. Letourneau said, there are two things I love to see. Number one, I love to make machines, turn the power on them, and watch them go to work. Letourneau made huge earth-moving equipment that would come in and move trees and cut them down and clear property. Letourneau quickly said, secondly, not only do I like to make huge machines and I turn the power on to see them work, secondly, I love to see the gospel power turned on in the lives of people where they are changed for eternity. R.G. Letourneau is the only layman that has ever served as both the president of the Christian Businessmen's Association and the Gideon's International, giving Bibles out all across the world and taking the gospel into the business community. Letourneau was not a preacher. He was a layman. He sat where you sit. And yet the power of God was in him. Why? Because he saw himself on mission. And dear friend, if you're a saved man or woman, you're to be on mission with the gospel. Get you a tract. Put it in your pocket. You say, I don't know how to do it. Well, just read it. And I'm telling you, you'll fall in love with the gospel and fall in love with people and share it with them. Every member a missionary. Number two, not only every member a missionary, but every home an outpost for evangelism and fellowship. Your house. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the largest bills I pay every month is my house payment. I have a mortgage. Not going to have it forever, but I have it now. And it just stands to reason, if I am paying the most of my money in my checking account, should not what I am spending the most on, or the largest check, should it not be used for the gospel? You may live in a trailer, in a condo, in an apartment, in a starter home. You may have a home that is palatial. Anybody's home can be used as an outpost for evangelism and fellowship. You invite your neighbors over. It's fellowship. Share the gospel. It's called evangelism. After church on Sunday night or a Wednesday night, or have a coffee get together on a Friday night. Just get to know your neighbors and use your home. Some of you could sign up to host kids in Disciple Now. You could use your home as an outpost for evangelism, kids will get saved, and fellowship. As a matter of fact, I asked a couple of our kids to make me a 90-second video about D-Now, and they brought me something back that was a little more than D-Now, and I did not see this till this morning. I was planning to use it. I'm almost scared to use it, but I'm going to use it. I want you to see two of our high school seniors and what they did for the pastor. Sharon, roll it for me, would you please? 90 seconds.
Hello there. My name is Josh Kirkland.
And I'm Eric Erbs.
And we host the midweek show here at Rewired on Wednesday nights. We just wanted to thank you for your charitable donation you're putting in the offering. It's going towards helping us pay for D-Now.
Today's registration. Get signed up.
That's right. Today's the deadline. In addition to D-Now, it's also going towards helping us find our new youth minister.
So, Mr. Lionel, what makes you think you would be a good fit as our new youth pastor?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. I got you my resume here. You can take a look through that. Got a lot of info there. I've got more I can go get if you need.
You know what? That's going to be okay. I think we're good.
Checkmate.
The search goes on. It also goes towards, well, what else does it go towards?
I don't know.
So from all of us here at Rewired,
and especially the midweek show,
thank you for your charitable donation.
Sir, you meant to put a 20 in the plate, not that 5.
Don't heckle people. That's not nice.
You can have that in your house for D-Now. Two of the most creative young men. They do that every Wednesday night when they host the midweek show in Rewired High School. I've been over there preaching to them the last 6 weeks. And I ask them, I say, man, you guys do a great job. They have a lot of fun with that. And just in a unique way. I'm telling you, when you buy in, church, if we don't start doing something for the coming generation, we are at the cusp of the church, not just at Olive. As a matter of fact, we're a little ahead of the other curve, but most churches, and we are not far behind. Soon, the church will have more people over 60 than they have under 16. And when you've got more over 60 than you have under 16, you're just waiting to die. It takes something unique. That's why we've got a building project we've got to get after over here in Russo Hall, because it's part of our mission. That is home mission. But every home, you can host these teenagers for D-Now. You ought to sign up out at the table today and be a part of that. Every member a missionary, amen? Every home an outpost for evangelism and fellowship. And then thirdly, the last part of the methodology is that every church is a mission sending center. Every church, including Olive, including your church, our church, is to be a mission sending center. At the end of the pew today, you will find one of these. And I want everybody to get one. Stick it in your Bible and put it in your prayer book. And it is where we are going on mission this year. Every month going between now and next February. And when you turn it over, it'll give you the map on the back where Olive is and all those points where we're heading on mission. We are to be a mission sending center. We are also to be a church that affects others, and we help other churches become mission sending centers. The boys from the Midweek Show were helping us with our giving promo today. When you put a dollar in the offering plate, 10 cents out of that dollar goes to the cooperative program. It's Southern Baptist vehicle for touching the world. This year, Olive will give a little over $700,000 out of here. 10% of our offering will go to the cooperative program. It'll help missions in Florida. It'll help across America. And it will go around the world with the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board. It's called our cooperative program. It's what we do as we cooperate with others. People ask me from time to time, is Olive an independent church? I said, you ought to come pastor it if you don't think it's independent. Yes, it has a mind of its own, but we have chosen to cooperate with others. We're a mission sending center. One of our own girls, Alan's sister, pregnant on the foreign mission field, Kristen Farr Fonder. How do they serve there? It's because you and 44,000 other Southern Baptist churches give to the cooperative program, and it makes its way to the International Mission Board so they can be in one of the hottest spots in all of the world. I mean, there's danger there. Kristen expecting a baby. I sent him a text the other day, and I said, are you going to birth this baby under a banana tree? Is that the way it works at the International Mission? I said, no, Pastor, they'll get us to a safe place, and it'll all be well. I said, well, amen. That's what I want to hear. So we're praying for them. We thank God for them. Every church, a missions sending center. If you've not read it, I want to challenge you to read a book. It will take you no more than 90 minutes to read this book. If you're really sharp, you can read it in an hour. But anybody in here that can read this in 90 minutes. It's called 20,000 Days and Counting by Robert Smith. Andy Andrews, who's our good friend, Andy Andrews, this is his Road Manager, the first book he's ever written. It's wonderful. I put it in the hands of my son. I said, Ben, you need to read this book. It was a life changer. I've shared it with several other people. You ought to read this book. 20,000 Days and Counting. It simply asks you to count up how many days you've been alive, and then think about how many days you may have left. In this book, he tells a wonderful story that I want to challenge you with today. It's the little-known story of William Borden. William Borden was born into phenomenal wealth. You've heard of the Borden Company? They have a little cash. Well, when William was born, he was born in Chicago in 1904 in this very wealthy, wealthy family, an heir to a massive estate. At some point in his life, he traveled throughout Europe and the Middle East and Asia, and a growing burden came for missions. When he finished his travels, he came home and he attended Yale. got his college degree, quickly distinguished himself from his typical peers, and he started a small group morning prayer study at the campus of Yale. 2 years later, he had 1,000 students attending when those kids came. His actions reached beyond the campus. He founded Yale Hope Mission in order to rehabilitate drunks and the forgotten of the streets of New Haven. A friend wrote that William went down to the meetings a great deal and might often be found in the lower parts of the city at night on the street in a cheap lodging house or some restaurant to which he had taken a poor, hungry fellow to feed him, seeking to lead men to Christ. Given his family's position, he received numerous high-paying job offers after he finished his studies at Yale, but he turned them all down, and after completing his graduate work at Princeton Seminary, he sailed for Egypt, where he planned to learn Arabic before beginning the mission work in China. But while in Egypt, he was infected with spinal meningitis. The same month, William Borden died at the age of 25. The story of his death went around the world, and a wave of sorrow followed him. His all-out dedication to making his life matter is reflected in a story that circulated after his death. And according to that story, William jotted down in the front of his Bible certain things that happened in his life. And here's what he wrote. When he decided to become a missionary, he wrote down these words: "No reserves." When he rejected high-paying job offers, he wrote down, "No retreats." And just before his death, he wrote down these words: "No regrets." No reserve, no retreat, no regret. William Borden only lived 25 years, but he made every day count. Because he had no reserves, he made no retreat, and he died with no regrets. I read this little book just close to my 59th birthday. I counted up how many days I'd been alive, wrote it down. And I said, "Lord, if my life passes this year and I stay healthy like I have the other 59 and 365 days, I'll hit 60. My wife got me a book on my birthday, 60 Things Everybody Should Know Before They Turn 60. I have not read it. I said, "Lord, I want to try to make every day really count. Really count. 365 and then I hit 60. Lord, I want to make every day count. Because I know at 60 you're really just getting started. You finally know what you've been talking about." Amen. But I said, "Lord, every day." Robert Smith helped me with that, and I've jotted these words down to say, "Lord, this year I want to have no reserve, no retreat. When I hit 60, I want to have no regret that I've taken every day captive for Christ." This is the day the Lord has made. It is Missions Day at Olive Baptist Church. For some of you, that means you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In a few moments, when I dismiss this crowd, I want you to get up out of your seat. While most people are walking that way, I want you to walk this way. Take me by the hand. There'll be another man standing here and another man over here. And there'll be some people we're going to introduce you to. We want you to come today and say yes to Christ. If you're here to join Olive, this is a great day to do it. Say, "Pastor, I don't have to stand up in front of all these people." No, they're going to be running over you while you're coming this way. Just make your way here. They'll let you through. Those of you that don't need to come this way, I want all of you, I'm asking you. I'm doing more than that. I'm giving you a pastoral command. Matter of fact, today's Sunday school lesson is on the pastor and deacon, right? Amen. That those men have been appointed for your safety and for your good. And so for your good, I'm telling you, I want you to go that way today. And I want you to make that a beehive of activity out there this morning. And look through those booths. Every child needs to go by and get that passport and put those stickers in there so they'll learn about those countries. They will learn to pray. Who can I send? Who will go for me? Here I am, Lord. Send me. I'll never forget old Dr. Davis at Samford University when he taught us on this text. He said, boys, don't forget it. When Isaiah said, here I am, he was standing on his tiptoes like a little boy saying, don't miss me. Don't miss me. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. Send me. I don't know what God has for you to do, but he does. And when he finds a willing vessel, he'll send you across the street, across a country, across a world. No regrets. No regrets. No regrets. One life lived for the glory of God. Father, thank you for our time together today. Move us, challenge us, save the lost, grow the church, and send the people, I pray. In Jesus' blessed and holy name, amen.